Folks, you're a worry to me. I spent a lot of the night awake saying, what in the world can I say to those young people? Something that I had on my heart, but it didn't, wasn't too much of it. But here I am. I'm certainly happy to have the privilege of being with you. I was coming to speak about anniversary. I guess I'll put my spell in on it today, so I'll have it out of the road. You are now recognizing the 50th anniversary of Central Bible College. I came relatively close to being associated with Central Bible Institute at that particular time. The process was on the building of the building now called Mother Bowie Hall, and I was invited to come to Springfield for a tryout for his ministry. I had a pretty fair church at that time at Philadelphia, but I thought, well, Lord, I don't know, I'll lay out a fleece. And if I were to go to Springfield, maybe I could teach a class in the Bible school. And it might be that the editor of the Pentecostal Evangel once in a while would take down one of my sermons, and it might get into the Evangel. And the thought was, would I be able to spread my ministry were I to accept the invitation? I came for 1 week. At the end of that week, Brother D.W. Kerr, the first president, principal, we call it then, of this school, and Brother E.N. Bell, who I think was the first general superintendent. In those days, Brother Bell would be elected one time, and then Brother Welch would be elected the secretary, and maybe the next time they'd elect Brother Welch the general superintendent or chairman, and Brother Bell would be elected as the secretary. So they invited me to become the pastor of the church. It wasn't a happy week to me. It was especially not a happy time, particularly then. I felt as if I had a hand on my back pushing me out of Springfield, Missouri, to go back to Philadelphia. You know, it's a lovely thing if you can put yourself in the hands of the Lord relative to ministry. I can honestly say that I have never sought a pastorate for myself. I've sought to have the help of the Lord. In fact, my struggle has been to leave a place to go to another place if I felt the Lord wanted me to make a move. And now, this may be the last time that I will speak to this congregation of people. I think it will. And I'm going to preach to you this morning the longest sermon that I have ever preached. You want to know how long? As long as you live. I'd like to make it that, as long as you live. When I was invited to speak to you this morning, I was reading in the book of Psalms, and I came to the 37th Psalm, I think one of the most marvelous of all the Psalms that there are in the Bible. And at the third verse of that chapter, I found these words: trust in the Lord and do good, so shall ye dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And it kind of penetrated me, and I began to think about it in relationship to the company of people that I would be speaking to this morning. I didn't get much meat on the bone, but the bone seemed to be all right. And I continued to think upon it and think upon it. And now this morning, I'm going to add two more verses of Scripture to it, found in this portion of the Scripture. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring to pass. It there is in italics. It would read without that, he shall bring to pass. Commit yourself to God. Commit your life to God. Commit your way to God. God will bring to pass. He'll bring to pass that which is plan and purpose for your life. If you do not learn to commit your way unto the Lord, but you take your way in your own hands, you can lead yourself astray. You can miss the road. But if you learn to commit yourself unto God, and your plans unto God, your present to God, your future to God, God will lead you. That's a part of my long, long sermon. I hope it'll stay with you as long as you live. The next verse that I find in connection with this is, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't become too impatient. If you don't get an answer right now, wait on the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. If you're seeking to get out into the gospel ministry, take these verses to heart. Trust in the Lord and do good. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and he shall bring to pass. Rest in the Lord. It's a lovely thing to be able to rest in the Lord and commit ourselves unto him and wait patiently for him. I will begin this morning with the thought of trust. When I was meditating relative to trust, I thought, now, I know what trust says, but what does trust really mean? So I went to my friend, the dictionary. He's a good fellow to carry with you, young friends. And if you get into the ministry, don't be afraid of your dictionary. If you hear words used and you don't comprehend them, look them up. And a lot of the words that you do use, you'll find when you want to get close to an analysis, you better look them up again. So I looked up the word trust for the significance of it. Trust is complete confidence in another's integrity, veracity, honesty, and justice. Those are good words, my friends, this morning. If you fully trust me, you'll put full confidence in my integrity. In other words, in my character. You'll put full confidence in my words, the things which I say. You'll put full confidence in my honor, and you'll put full confidence in my justice. You don't hardly feel like doing that with the best of men. If you enter into a contract with a man, you're wanting him to do a certain service for you, you want to have a contract. You want to have it sealed. You want something that will hold him to his promise. And that's a good thing to do. This morning, if they're trusting in the Lord, we don't have to have any other seal to make it effective than the fact it's what he is. If you trust God, you fully put your confidence in his integrity, in his quality, and character. You completely depend upon it. You put your trust fully in His Word, what He says. That Word, the great Word of God, is not by somebody's revelation or somebody's interpretation, but it's in this book. It's higher than all other documents. It's higher than all other expressions. And you'll find in this book the truthfulness of God. You'll come to times in your experience when your experience is going to be tested. What lies before you in the years which are to come, I cannot now say, and you cannot say, but there will be high waters, and there will be low waters. There will be heartaches, as well as there will be blessings. It's a part of the path of the human life. Jesus couldn't escape it. Jesus, baptized and filled with the Spirit at Jordan, was led by the devil into the wilderness to be tempted. You're going to be tempted, and tempted in many different ways. It's a number of years ago at Springfield, Missouri, that there was a good girl, a good young woman. Her mother and father were good people. She married. She went to another state. Her parents, because of the position of the father, went to St. Louis. They lived there for a number of years. They were in the church a week ago last Sunday morning. They retired. They're living out on a little farm that they have purchased. And I asked about the daughter, for I hadn't seen her for years. They said, oh, she's had such a sad life. She suffered so much. Her marriage has come to naught. And they said, I said, where is she now? They gave me the name of the city. I said, we've got a good church in that city. Ah, said the mother, but she doesn't go to church anywhere. She feels that God has forsaken her. That's a part of the lot of this promising young woman. Has God forsaken her? No, He's not forsaken her. No matter what the circumstances of life may be, God does not forsake His own. Unfortunately, she's allowed this disastrous marriage to so wound her heart that it has come between her and God, and she's lost her trust in the Lord. I sincerely hope this morning that whether it be by life or by death, whether it be by persecution or by assault, or whatever may come into your lives, you'll never fail to trust in the Lord. I have my battles. I'm not as young as once I was. And I have times when I can feel pressure and the lack of drive within my being. And the devil kind of torments me. Yes, madam. Yes, gentlemen, he'll torment you and do everything that he can to hinder you. And I get on my knees and look to God and worship God and pray to God and look to Him to give me help. And I find that there are times when my consolation is only in the book of God. A promise from God's word will come to me. I'll think of the atonement of Christ and His sufferings and the virtue of His atoning death for my soul's salvation and for the perpetuation of my being kept. And I draw consolation from the Word of God. And again, it'll be another scripture that will come to my mind, bidding me to fight the good fight of faith, pursue the course with joy, knowing that at the end there's a glorious reward for the faithful children of God. Nothing will sustain your soul like the promises in God's precious word. So I commend to you our Lord Jesus Christ and the promise of the scripture, I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. The time which may seem the darkest to you may be the time just before the freshness of new light. I was a pastor at Newark, New Jersey, a long, long time ago, more than 50 years ago. There was a man, a college man, and his wife was a college woman. She was an alert little thing, quick as could be. He was kind of a flathead. But he got it into his mind that the husband is the head of the wife. And he quoted to her the scripture. The Bible says so. And then he laid down the rule to her. She was to obey. He was the boss. Lord knows, I think she was quicker to learn by far than he. And she went to a friend of hers, almost brokenhearted, and said, "Sister, I just can't stand it. I go to church, and he comes and grabs me by the arm when I'm speaking to some friends and says, 'Come, we're going home now.'" And she says, "I'd get on the streetcar, and I'd turn inside and churn inside all the way home." But when she laid out her complaint to this good woman, she says, "Now, sister, God's doing something with you. And when you let God do in you what he wants to do, God will do something with your husband. And my recommendation is that you go along. Don't quarrel. Don't have difficulties. Yield to him." Oh, she said, "When I got that word, I thought, how in the world can I ever do it?" She says, "I thought, surely she'll sympathize with me and say, 'Dear woman, I'm so sorry that you got the man that you got. I wish that I were able to give you help.'" But she didn't get it. Well, she took it to heart, however. She said, "All right, if that's the way that I've got to go, I'm going to go that way." And she went home. When I was the pastor of that church, the dear man didn't know it, but she had him so wound around her finger that she could do anything she wanted to. And he came along. Instead of her following him, he followed her. It used to be amusing, but it was good. She got the victory in her own bosom, and then God gave her the victory that she needed from the outside. You may go through some pretty hard places when God is dealing with you, for God's after your character, and he's after my character. And you may not understand that God's after your character, and that he puts us through all of these different things to perfect that which concerns us. So don't be afraid if the tests do come. Now then, I'm going to draw a distinction between trust and faith. Don't any of these theologians here tell me that I'm a heretic. I'm doing it for your good this morning. I want you to get something out of the lesson. Faith, I will say, is masculine. Trust is feminine. I could just as well say, faith is heroic and trust is reclining. They'd mean the very same thing. An illustration of faith we find in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith wrought righteousness, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the sword, out of weakness were made strong. These are heroic words. There's nothing weak, there's nothing feminine about it. You find in them the tramp of feet marching on to glorious victory. We have a lot of Pentecostal people, I'm afraid, that would like to follow in their shoes, but they're unable to do so. And some of the poor souls try to do so, but they don't get along very far. You admire signs and wonders. Well, I'm not admiring every sign and wonder, I'll tell you that. I think there are some things that purport themselves to be remarkable that don't have God particularly in them, but they dazzle the eyes, particularly of people who are looking for novelty. But I thank God for His precious word, that we can preach the word and live by the precious word of God. Now for my illustration of trust as feminine, I go to the Song of Solomon and pick out a beautiful little expression there. Who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning upon the arm of her beloved? Isn't that beautiful? A lovely maiden with a promising young man, the man of her espousals. She's full of confidence in him. She trusts him. Everything will be well with her as long as he is present. She's a leaner. She leans upon him. And I think I can say she rests upon him. She does it because she fully trusts him. Say to her, if you desire, he'll not be faithful. He'll desert you after a period of time. Does she believe it? No, she doesn't believe it. She believes with all of her heart. She's made the choice of her life. And there will be this happy companionship together as long as they both shall live. She's trustful. She's trustful. This morning, if you are going to trust in the Lord, I advise you to be as a young woman. Lean upon the Lord. Put your full confidence in Him. Believe that He will be faithful to you to the end. And finally, we'll present you faultless for the presence of His glory to take your place in the celestial city that's coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Trust is a wonderful thing. There is a little thought relative to faith. It requires action. Action. Believe. Have faith in God. That's action. You got to get into it yourself. When it comes to trust, the other side of faith, it's relaxation. It's relaxation. It's putting your trust in Him. It's looking to Him to act. It's looking to Him to help you in the trying hour and to see you through in victory. See the beauty of these other two words. Commit. Commit. Commit your sorrow. Commit your disappointment. Commit the darkness of the way. Commit what you do not understand. Continue to have a spirit of commitment. Committing to God. Committing to His Word. Committing to the fact of His interest that is in your life. And that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus, having loved His disciples which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. The suffering Jesus, He's now at the verge of the cross. He loved them when He chose them. He loved them through the vicissitudes of life. He loved them unto His all of His the end. Young people, Jesus saved you because He loved you. You didn't choose Him. He chose you. If there had not been the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you would never have been saved. The very fact this morning that you're saved is an evidence to you that Jesus loves you. And Jesus is interested in you. And the hairs of your head are all numbered. What a wonderful thing it is when we can put ourselves into His hands. And consequently, by committing and trusting, we enter in a soul rest in the midst of the storms of life. I remember one occasion when Brother Will Evans was the principal of this institution. I went into his office. I do not remember what the circumstance was, but he was passing through a sad time. Something had come up that saddened him deeply, and he recited to me something about it. And then he said, "Well, God's got something in it for me." I never forgot his saying that to me. God's got something in it for me. It felt to him as if it was unjust. It was unright. But even if it was unjust, if it was unright, God had something in it for him. You may meet injustices as you go through life. Disappointments in many different ways. But God's got something in it for you. Something in it for you. You got a lesson to learn. A help in developing your character. Advancing you in God. And if you can only see this morning what this means to you and will continue to mean to you, it'll be a great blessing to your heart now and in days to come. In some places, we don't have enough preaching about the development of Christian life.